You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Support for this podcast comes from the patrons at patreon.com/FMLFPL. FMLFPL Milan.
This was
a little morning, okay. So really starting the day, okay.
Yeah, coffee pod.
Coffee pod. Yeah, coffee. Replace all bubblies with coffees, and that's the pod today. How you doing?
I'm good, you know. Just dropped the kid off at school.
Nice. How was the week? The week that was?
Everything's going well over here in the Walsh household. How about you? How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. Halloween was fun. I had some people concerned on FMLFL Instagram because they thought I actually got bloodied up.
But it was what do you mean?
It was fake blood. I had fake blood all over my head and neck and my wife beater that I was wearing. That
sounds very middle school of you.
Oh, it was great. I looked fucking gnarly. People were like, what the fuck? How'd you do in FPL?
You know. 40, nice 40 spot. No goals from the team. Just another day in paradise. Love to see it. Just a couple cleans, couple assists. A lot of twos. Some ones.
Yeah.
Nice. You know, nice job by me. My slow descent into FPL fuck is begun. And yeah, that's about it. Can't do anything right.
Gallagher out for Foden.
Easy move.
One of the easiest moves, like people were commenting when we posted the lineup shit. They're just like, wow, that's such an easy, like simple move for Walsh. And it was like, minus 11.
Well, I wouldn't have gotten him. So it was would you not have? No, I would have put him. Oh, wow. No, actually, because Duffy, I would have put him ahead of Duffy and Doug didn't play. So
Doug didn't play and Bumo didn't play.
I didn't even realize that until I'm looking right now.
Yeah, that's the thing. It was such a weird week where I think most people that I've seen went like 15 deep. I only got 10 men out. I didn't think that was remotely possible going in, but Doug, sneaky injury or illness or whatever. I can't believe Bumo didn't sub on, Aspel didn't start, so yeah, and then the Brozier red flag. It's funny, my Kai hit that everyone will remember for captaining Kai and the 7-0 blank, but hits, it's not a 1 week thing, right? So I did Brozier and Kai in last week for Raph and Wood. And last week, those two easily outscored Raph and Wood. And I was like, cool. Yeah. I'm like +8 on that, except, you know, the Kai blank was horrible. This week, Brozier, an actual zero that, an impactful zero because I only got 10 men. So it's nightmare zero.
A true and zero.
A true, yeah, pure.
A Duffy zero. Yeah.
Kai gets 6, okay. Gets, you know, fell off the pen. Raph gets 9 and Wood gets 6. So,
it's now you're just back to negative. Yeah.
It's just bad now. Yeah.
Yeah. The worst thing is when you do free transfers and they end up being huge hits. Because you don't account for that.
Yeah.
It happens. I mean, it happens.
And people,
you know,
always,
at least
I feel
five
like
times a season.
Yeah. And people, like, after 1 week, if it works the week that you do it, I feel like people are just like, that's it. It was a good move, no matter what happens for the next 5 weeks. But you got to remember, sometimes it lingers. But I got to say, Jim on Wildcard has been fucking, holy shit. He's been carrying me. I mean, I got him on Wildcard. He's got 8-10, one-pointer after an international break. He played 2 minutes, and then 5-9.
Why did you let me get rid of him?
At the
time, I'm going to hold you a little accountable on this one.
I would like to go back and listen to the tape. But when did you wildcard? I think that's when you got rid of him, right?
Yeah, I think game week 5, right? When he started, right before he got points on every game.
Yes.
Because I was fucking fuming after Watford and Brenham blanks, and I couldn't take it anymore.
I think that's why I let you get rid of him, because
I know, but then you bring him in. So I was saying before the season, like, I was the only person on him game week 1.
Yeah.
Just like, believe in him, and he obviously was definitely rusty.
You know,
didn't look good for the first few, but I went against my thing.
I didn't actually bring him in 6, I'm realizing, because that's why I brought him in. I got him in 7 after the goal at Southampton, because
you were like,
and my reasoning was
finish, even though the team didn't fucking function at all.
Yeah, that was my reasoning was, this is the exact guy that everyone else is like, oh, form, fixtures, like all the shit. And me and you are like, yeah, but they look terrible and he looks terrible. And then he plays Newcastle, Villa, Leeds, Everton. The good fixtures keep going and just keeps returning. And that's what turned out to be right. And that's why I got him.
Yeah.
I think if I wildcarded in 6, I also would have been nowhere near him.
Okay.
But that's been good. But yeah, torture. I mean, listen.
Absolute torture for me this season with him, dude.
I saved. I only got 10 men and I got 100K green. So you take that every time.
Yeah, I mean, it was a super low scoring week.
Yeah, no, Ramsdale 10, Jim 9.
That was the biggest thing, was the Rammers.
Yeah.
That was a huge differentiation from the field, getting 10 on a low scoring week from your goalkeeper.
Yeah,
was
and it's a double clean for me with White getting auto subbed in. Right, so that game was really huge for me.
Yeah.
Let me do league updates. So want to remind people that hits at the beginning of the month are not reflected in the league table. So I have to look at your teams individually and see who took hits and dock the people, because some people at the top are no longer at the top. So shout out to the 3.
And I mean, that's all the way back to game week 7. So
yeah, exactly. So it's a while ago. So shout out to the 3, well, 4 actually, because there's a tie. Mug League, Prize League winners for October. First place, Sean Whelan, aka Mo Mane, Mo Problems. Second place, Garrett Dute, aka Duta Krut. And third, we got a tie from Ashley Hayden, aka Bruce Benitez, and Muhammad Al Ayed, aka RSFC. Good job by you guys. And shout out to the leader of the FMLFBL Public League, Joe Widowson, aka MKM Massive, up to 8th overall in the world. That is very high.
He's 8th?
8th.
Wow.
It never makes any sense. It never makes any sense.
How is there anyone that's 8th?
It just will never, ever make sense to me. Like,
oh my goodness.
I look at his team, and I'm like,
the same as everyone's and shit?
Yeah, I mean, I guess not. This week he had fucking Reese and Chilwell, you know?
I mean, if you had Reese this week, that's the difference from flying or just basically staying in the pack.
God, he had Reese and Chilwell back-to-back weeks. So game week 9, they combined 50, for 25.
He just gets 50 points
from
them.
And then this week he combined for 29.
Pretty smart.
That's how you go up a lot, I guess. Yeah, good job by him.
You know, I was thinking about that because I feel like this is something that happens with double game weeks when we're looking at it. We always like target the attackers, but I feel like we are so stupid about overlooking defenders when we have the elite teams on these, like, because they have this mini 3-game week run, right, of these 3 joke games. And like, we were just so hyper focused on Kai or getting like an attacker for a captaincy option against Norwich and shit. Meanwhile, the cleans are basically free.
Well, I mean, I wildcarded in Azpilicueta, back-to-back zeros for me. Yeah, so that's...
Well, he did start off good for you, though.
Yeah, you got a 10 and a 6.
10?
And a 6. And then, you know,
zero,
doesn't
zero
play
the two
surprise in the 7-0 and doesn't
shoulder
start
injury
or something. So that's just so bad, but I probably, in hindsight, should have considered Azpil to Chilwell. I don't think I would have been on Reese, so that's not realistic. But If we knew
Boomo was out, you would have done something.
Yeah, exactly. Or Doug Louise, even, because I would have been like, I'm really thin. But
yeah, Dino totally frauded us on that one.
Yeah, he did.
Zero word whatsoever about that.
And Dino's been frauding all over the place.
Yeah, both on and off the pitch, both in the pressers and on the fish. Yeah, and I mean, Boomo was definitely, you know, Frank kind of was like dropping breadcrumbs for us, and then he just fucks us right up the ass.
I mean, they're down.
Down 2-0, 3-0. It's like I mean, he wasn't playing Man City or Liverpool here. I don't know, but whatever. Fucking bullshit.
All right, let's go somewhere, and I think we should start with...
Where do you want to go?
Crystal Palace.
Oh, my God.
So, late riser's question... He said, I'm coming in early for the questions. Can we have a long Crystal Palace section given the fixtures? FPL options and defense mid-forward. I'm looking for a nice Walsh section here. Back said, what do we make of Conor Gallagher? He's clearly a totally different beast when Millie isn't playing. Can we expect him to keep this role on the team? And then I just wanted to read the fixture for people because, you know, some people are driving and shit. But it's home Wolves, away Burnley, home Villa, away Leeds, away Man United, home Everton, home Southampton, away Watford, away Spurs, home Norwich. So just like so.
Takes you right to January 1st.
So good. An insane run. Let's talk Crystal Palace. A fucking easy win.
My team.
Yeah.
Easy game.
Easy game on Saturday. Like never in doubt. What are we looking at FPL wise?
You know, unfortunately, I just don't think that there are too many options really. Okay. I mean, obviously, we've been talking about this since Millie returned that, you know, Gallagher, yes, as the questioner, whoever said that, spot on. When, when Millie's in, Gallagher's just a third the option as when he's not, you know, namely the set pieces are important. But he also seems to, you know, just push up a lot more because Millie's like immobile. So I don't know. I think he does a little bit of a different job when Millie's playing versus when he's not.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and the whole team just flows so much faster and better because MacArthur can move and, you know, whoever the third midfielder is, whether it's Kouyaté or literally any other player can move and Millie cannot move. So that's a big difference in how the attack goes.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Wilf is probably my favorite pick on the team right now. I know he's been bad, but well, he looked back to his old self against City and he has pens and he's just the main man. You know, I mean, he is in and around like the good attacking actions for pretty much everything we do. And I know I've been, you know, complaining about him getting his shots blocked and, you know, not really being able to take any players on, but you know, Gallagher is, they're not that much different in price. It's only a million. And, you know, Gallagher's points, you know, are more like chip-in-y, late runs into the box kind of things. And whereas Zaha's like, you know, he's the guy. You know, he's the guy up there and he's guaranteed 90 every game. And I just think that it's like more reliable. And, you know, it is a big deal because Millie could play half of these games, if not more. You know, I mean, just having him sit. And, you know, just to make sure we don't, like, just capitulate against these shitty-ass teams. So I think Gallagher's a really, you know, mediocre at best start when Millie's playing. And I think that's also a really big deal, you know, when you're looking at, oh, yeah, I'll just start Gallagher in all these fixtures. Okay, you could do that, right? But, you know, you watch the games and, you know, he might only be a good option for, you know, a few of them. Whereas Zaha is, you know, he's going to be up there. He's going to be taking shots. He's going to be, you know, creating chances. And, you know, Edwards playing better. And, you know, if Olise keeps coming in a little bit more, that opens things up a lot more. And, you know, hopefully Benteke doesn't see as much of the pitch, which is, you know, and IU hopefully doesn't see as much of the pitch. We don't need defensive work on the right wing as much. I just think Zaha is more dynamic. So, you know, attack-wise, that's who I would go after. And, I mean, I'm looking at him. I'm looking at bringing him in to bring him back into my team, even though he didn't do so well for me at the beginning of the season.
Edward is probably sort of the sleeper of the three. You know, I think people will naturally look at Wilf. I think a lot of people still own Gallagher, but Edward to me is kind of the guy that, like, well, he might end up with like the most points, not out of nowhere. You know, like he's shown flashes, and in the games where Palace are on top for the majority of the game, I could see him like getting in there more, but. What about defensively? I mean, like, overall good XG against numbers, but the cleans haven't really been coming, and they only have 3 cleans in 10. But they have had really hard fixtures. I'm wondering if you think that could be a shot. I saw you and Nate talking about Guaita as an option, or like, I don't know, is like Mitchell an option or something like that? He's getting a little bit more forward. I don't know. Do you like any guys that?
I think the biggest issue is them compared to the other like 4 or 5 guys. Mm. And, you know, them just not being like, they have to be like the first or second option. And I mean, I know the fixture run's good, but I still think like Livermento's a really good shout. I still think, you know, Duffy's a really good pick. I mean, we don't play for clean sheets. We play to just front foot, press a lot, you know, and we do give up chances. You know, we just do. And Guaita also, you know, we're really bad on set pieces. Guaita's very, very ropey when the ball's kind of floating in. Like, he just doesn't come in the area at all, and he flaps a lot. And we don't have any defenders who are really good attacking options. I mean, you know, you can look at the baseline bonus is okay, you know, pretty good for Gehi because he's good passing, and, you know, Guaita also is pretty good baseline bonus. And I mean, if Anderson's probably the best shout for an attacking return from the defenders, because he's a little bit, you know, he's up there on set pieces. And, but, you know, I just don't love any of the picks. I think, you know, sure, you know, if you want to get someone different, and that's kind of fun because the fixtures are good, we'll keep a few, you know, but I think we're just like much similarly to Southampton, like an 8-ish clean sheet team, just like a bottom half defense who's going to keep like 7 or 8 clean sheets over the course of the season. And, you know, say us and Southampton, I think, are like very similar teams from a clean sheet perspective. Like, I'm surprised if it ever happens. Right. But then you look at Tino and he's like, oh yeah, he's by million miles a better attacking option than any of the 8 or whatever, however, right? So that's the kind of thing where I'm looking at it that.
Tino's been murdering me.
Yeah, I mean.
He returns every game.
And then, you know, even Duffy, I mean, right? We could talk about maybe there's a little risk. I mean, Burns out, but, you know, with Webster back, sure. But, you know, their fixtures are pretty good and they play fucking 20 defenders and they just you know, they're a top half defense. So I think those are the kind of things that I think about when I look at the Palace defense. But, you know, you could do worse, and, you know, it's fun. And also, I mean, White also, right? White's still fucking 4-4. I mean, Arsenal are a top half defense. So I think that's the biggest concern I have there. Just like, why would you be picking them over insert like 4 other players on 4 teams who are just objectively better defenses?
Right.
I guess the fixtures, you know, maybe they rotate better in your team. Okay. But I wouldn't expect the world. I don't expect us to rip off like 6 cleans and 10 just because we have good features.
Yeah. I think I mostly agree. Okay.
And I think you're Edward. I like the Edward. I mean, you know, 6'5".
Yeah, 6'5". He's either like left wing or center forward every game. It seems like now he's like pretty much nailed in the lineup, I think. And
I mean, he's only had a few starts. I mean, the one thing he screams to me is just lack of composure. Like, he's just in the box, in the final third. He does really good build up, really good, like, interchange, really good progressing the ball. In the box, he just kind of like, come on, dude.
Yeah.
Like, that's sort of what he keeps doing over and over again.
He just seems to me like the guy of everyone that we just talked about that, like, if they're going to have a run of 10 games where they're actually good, it's right now.
I agree.
Like, if someone wants to take that risk, or someone hates their forwards, or, you know, whatever, need to replace, you know, fucking Broja or whoever the fuck, it's like, not the worst punt in the world.
Yeah, he's only 6'5".
Yeah, he's only 6'5".
And he certainly nailed himself, so that's good. Thank God. Holy shit.
Yeah.
Means less Benteke.
Well, I was looking back at Palace, because, you know, the first 2 games of the season, the lineup was all wrong and weird, and Gallagher wasn't in yet, and Gallagher couldn't play against Chelsea, and blah, blah, blah. Since then, Palace have only been shut out once, and that was at Anfield, and they were still, like, good and really dangerous in that game. Like,
all we do is attack.
Yeah, it's a
really, I think we're the top pressing team in the league.
It's a really bad fixture. You know, if your defender's playing against Palace, like, they're probably not keeping it clean. It's a really, really bad fixture, which is crazy.
Yeah. And I mean, Olise's starting to get little looks in here and there. Yeah, he's so good.
I know.
And, you know, the more minutes he gets,
Coach Holmes,
the better will be.
Crazy about him.
Yeah, I mean, that was wild. He's played like fucking 50 minutes in the league. But I mean, it's clear that he has a lot about him. He's just, you know, he's just raw. And we have been playing tough fixtures where, you know, the defensive is important, but not upcoming. So I don't think Olise is going to be like a fantasy pick, but I think he's going to help the attack in general because he is a good player, unlike Ayu, who's a black hole.
If you want to make a really dumb and risky pick that might pay off, it's Olis.
Yeah, I mean, it's really difficult to justify that when he's like essentially the same price as Gallagher.
But yeah, I'm not recommending flair. It by any means. Yeah, but it's total flair. Like,
yeah,
he could just start a bunch of these games and be like ridiculous. His returns are already ridiculous, and he's started one game.
Yeah, and Eze played for the under 23 started yesterday, the other day, so he's coming back soon. I don't know how that's going to trickle down.
Very exciting times to be a Palace fan.
Yeah, there you go. There's your Palace segment.
State of the Palace.
We're good. I mean, we're just really good.
Yeah.
Vieira, unbelievable hire. Thank God no one else wanted to manage our team.
Yeah, I know.
Because we landed on the best possible player in the world.
Sometimes it just works out that way. Yeah. Let's talk about City. Cambia said, part of the draw of going big at the back is you don't use transfers there. However, we're already seeing a lot of chat about swapping guys in and out. Do we just keep faith in City defense? Would you stay on a double up? Jax, is Kinsella worth the 6-4? Few attacking returns compared to Trent, Reese, and Chile, and the defense has been more leaky. Man, it's been so frustrating. So what do you make of that?
I mean, you have two City defenders, right? You still have Diash?
Yeah, and it's been so bad.
Yeah, I mean, it's been bad in the last four game weeks, right?
Which is when I wildcarded. So I wildcarded in 7, went Diash and Kinsella. They've combined for...
Clean, because Diash didn't play the clean.
Yeah, 13 points between them in 4 game weeks for 2 players.
Yeah, I mean, are you thinking about getting rid?
No, but...
It's just frustrating because they just kept 5 cleans in a row before you got them.
Right.
I think it's just one of those where, you know, Liverpool is in that window. Burnley, they kept the clean and Diaz doesn't play. So, you know, that hurts. And then Ederson gives the pen up against Brighton when they were fucking disassembling them.
Yep.
And then they get the 10 men against my team. So I think it's just one of those, you know, it seems like it's reactionary.
Unlucky. Yeah. I mean,
it's just unlucky.
It's like, I don't know. We always talk about form for attacking players. I do feel like there's form for cleans as well to some extent. Like it's almost like a belief thing and a concentration thing. It's just like the good thing is I know Pep's not happy about it, right? Because they're just like making dumb mistakes and like losing concentration. Laporte and Ederson, the last two, and so you know I expect them to correct it. But yeah, it's been a nightmare and it's been very bad.
I still think you just hold. I mean, I don't see that being like a good move to go down to get, you know, Reece James, who's, you know, low key still very rotation prone. And I mean, Chilwell's a great pick, but, you know, just figure out a different way to get him in, kind of.
Yeah, there's no way that these are the biggest problems in your team. There's just no way.
Diash to Chilwell, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I guess it's fine because Chilwell scores a goal almost every game.
Yeah,
but
it's fine.
It's still just like, really? That's what you're doing? I don't know.
I mean, I don't know. It's unsexy. It's a defensive transfer. It's a lot of things that we typically don't want to do. But, you know, when Aspil has a shoulder injury, if I was just like, fuck it, I'm going to Chilwell, I'd be, you know, plus 15 or something.
Yeah, but that's that's where too. If you knew that he was out, then, you know, you look at it differently, but whatever.
But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's been horrible, but I'm keeping faith and
I would keep faith if I mean I've had Kinsella for a while. He's like the most settled player in my team next to like Trent basically and Mo. I don't know.
Yeah. And and Foden's still good and there's not really anyone else in attack that I want. So
yeah, same situation.
Nothing's changed with City, I guess.
I mean, every passing game my grin gets wider about my Kevin assessment from like a month and a half ago.
Yeah.
I mean, he gets ripped off as the worst player on the pitch first sub.
Rough. Yeah.
Just been objectively bad.
Yeah. He needs like months off, maybe.
I don't know.
Like that kind of vibe.
Yeah.
Liverpool, a couple of Liverpool questions. Terp said, with all the premium defenders to choose from this year, speaking of Trent, is Trent really worth 1.5 more than the others? White to Chilwell is the same price difference as Chilwell to Trent. And then Chester, if we aren't captaining anyone other than Mo, wouldn't Mane be the next best premium option? The Trent one is interesting because honestly, Liverpool don't look like keeping any cleans to me. I know they just cleaned back-to-back Watford and Man United, but both teams got real chances. I mean, United really should have scored at least one.
Yeah, and they had the one was disallowed.
And one was disallowed by a fucking hair. Look ropey. They are playing way more risky attacking football this year than the last 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, that said, they have six cleans and done.
Yep.
So, I don't know. I agree with you that they're not, you know, I mean, we're also talking about they had like 20 some, what did they have, like 20 cleans a couple seasons ago or whatever?
Yeah.
So, I mean, what are we comparing them to? I mean, they're still going to keep cleans in half their games.
Yeah.
Even though they have been, you know, not in cruise control in first gear for 20 minutes to kill time as they have done in the past necessarily, but they still just smother and dominate, and teams that are bad just, you know, maybe they'll lay a little bit of a glove, but it's again, I mean, it's still six cleans and 10. So what are you what are you asking for? What are you looking for?
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah, that's true.
You know, Trent has, you know, three assists. I mean, he has three assists in eight games. He missed two games. You know, it's, he's still, you know, fucking amazing. And
yeah,
I think he's worth 7-6. Just because other options are scoring doesn't mean that Trent's like bad or worse. I guess it's just, you know, they're just all good. So,
right.
You know, I mean, I would just cast your eye to midfield or, you know, maybe your third striker and say, okay, maybe that's the spot. But Trent's still returning at, you know, what he has 52 points in eight games. So what, that's like fucking 6+ points a game.
It's really good.
What are you what are we talking about here?
Yeah, okay.
I don't know.
Sold. What about Mane? I mean,
yeah, you I'm a little tough one with Mane to analyze. What do you think about Mane over there?
It's actually a similar answer, but the way we're playing, I think he's probably the second best premium in the game to Mo. He's the best premium in the game. I mean, he's just
consistent.
Yeah, so consistent. Like, he's getting really good regular chances. He's playing more of the, like, final action guy than I think in some seasons past, where he was doing a lot of the, like, you know, Rabo overlap. Yeah.
They never
build
up on the side anymore.
They never build up on the side. And honestly, Rabo's been...
He's been horrible.
He's been his worst season compared to Liverpool. Yeah.
Yeah.
And... yeah, Mane just keeps being like the guy that finishes the move, or the guy that gets the, you know, tap in, or the guy that gets the pullback, and he's in a really good spot, and he's just scoring so many goals. He has six goals and an assist already, and he's probably underperforming his XG. I mean, I think, like, you know, obviously at West Ham's a bad fixture, home Arsenal, okay, but after home Arsenal, they have a really good long run. You know, AFCON will play a role. Him and Mo will miss, I think, at least two games.
Happens. I mean, who knows what's going on with that?
Who the fuck knows? But yeah, I think if you're going to premium and it's Mo and Mane, I think you're doing absolutely fine. Like, I don't, you know.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing with Mane is, though, and it really does add up, like, significantly. I mean, he has 7 returns in 9 starts. Zero bonus points on the season.
It's crazy.
I mean, you think of a play, like, imagine if Jim had 7 returns in 9 starts. He's getting an extra 15 points.
Yeah, I mean, minimum. Jim has 5 returns and 7 bonus.
Yeah, and I mean, that makes his, like, I mean, he's returns more, you know, he gets these 1-goal game, like, very consistently.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, you're going to be happy with, you know, a return a game, but... you know, when he's really capping off, he hasn't had more than 8 points in a game yet.
It's so crazy.
It's nuts. I mean, he does too much. So, you know, the bonus point system doesn't like that because it's fucking a nonsense. It's such fucking bullshit, stupid shit.
But awful system.
That's I think that does
it hurts
factor.
Him.
Yeah. It hurts him. And, you know, he's been close to getting those double returns, but this is like Mo of yesteryear, where if he doesn't get a double return, he doesn't get bonus points. And now Mane's just taken that mantle over.
And I know, part the captain was part of the question, but it still rubs me the wrong way to spend 11-9 on someone, and you will literally never captain them because he plays on the same team as Mo.
Yeah, yeah.
So if the fixture's ever medium to good, you're capping Mo.
Yeah. No matter what. I mean, you know, we see this today after, oh yeah, Mo just had 4 returns and he had an assist and he had these goals chalked off. But fast forward 3 or 4 game weeks, who knows, right? Yeah. You know, we might be like, yeah, I'm okay, Mo's having a dip. Like, in this good fixture, they have a bad fixture. So, you know, you still do want to be flexible and not...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, you know, if you're going to go with a second premium, you know, yeah, I agree. But still, you know, yeah, Mane, it's fine pick.
Totally fine pick.
And fine pick.
I don't know if we want to spend any time on it, but somewhere I'm also looking for premiums is Spurs. I mean, the plan was always kind of... I always
hated... Why wouldn't we want to spend any time on it?
Well, just... sorry, I meant we don't have any questions on it, but... And it's a lot just like speculation. We don't really know the lineup Conte's going to choose, et cetera, et cetera, but...
Well, we know Kane and Son will be in it.
We know Kane and Son will be in it, and what I was going to say is I always hated the 9 and 10 fixtures. Going into it, I hated them as a Son owner. Recommending people Kane and Son, I was always like, I hate these fixtures. And here we are. He's at Everton, which has turned into like one of the better fixtures in the league. They're a fucking disaster.
Especially at Goodison, it could get really ugly.
It could get really ugly. And then the run that we always wanted him starts in 12. That'll be with, you know, 3 weeks of Conte working with them, basically, because there's international break.
They're all going to be gone.
That's true.
Pretty much every one of them plays international.
Right. That's true.
Which is unfortunate. That's except unfortunate for maybe for him. He'll have Dane Scarlett there.
Yeah, he'll have Skip, Scarlett.
Winks.
Royale Lachiz. He can't be on a national team, right?
No, he's so bad. Terrible. I mean, I don't know where he's from, though. Maybe he's from some like African place where he is.
So. Yeah, he could be. Yeah,
Emerson Aparecido Leite de Souza Jr. He's probably Portuguese or Brazilian.
Yeah, Portuguese or Brazilian, yeah.
Then there's no way he's on the fucking team because he's not us.
But yeah, regardless of that detail, I mean, away Everton, home Leeds, away Burnley, home Brentham, home Norwich. That was the run we wanted them for. It's here. I have Son. You have Kane. Conte is one of the best managers in the world. I mean, he's like a top five manager in the world. I just expect great things.
Expect great things.
Yeah,
absolutely agree with you. I think it's going to be a fuck fest for the Spuddenings, and they should improve dramatically quickly.
Yeah,
and that's a good job for everyone, because watching them play, watching any Nuno team play is you know rip your eyes out territory. It's just so depressing and negative and dull and drab. And so this is great for the neutrals, great for Spuds, you know, bad for Arsecast. That's about it. Those are the only losers, are the Arsecasts.
Because, bad for Man, you know, United, West Ham, Arsenal. Like,
yeah, they're
they
a real
could
fourth
compete
place.
For fourth, yeah.
I think they will. They are 1,000,000%.
Yeah,
it's fourth.
Just, you know,
I would,
it's unfortunate
I would put
that
money on them for fourth right now.
It's just unfortunate that they're already, you know, 5 points behind West Ham.
It's not that much.
It's not that much, but it's just a lot of... They have to leapfrog Brighton, Wolves, Arsenal, Man United, West Ham, all ahead of them. There's time,
I think
though.
That they're going to... Yeah, I think that they're going to make a serious push for fourth. I would definitely, depending on what the odds look like. I mean, that's something I would be looking at putting some
I like that.
Fundage on. But
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's... I think, you know, Regs is also really interesting because he's back to his original starting price. And, you know, we've been saying for... ever since he's been in the league that he can't play left back, but he'd be a good wing back.
Yep.
And I think that's going to be coming to fruition. Right wing back, we don't know who's going to play there. Probably start with Emerson. And then after he realizes that he's terrible and everything else is settled, he'll fiddle there
and teach
someone a new position.
Yeah. It might just be one training sesh, but
yeah,
we'll see. I mean, it could be Lucas. It could be Bergwijn. Like we don't really know.
We have no idea. But I mean, you know, Kane, Son are going to be good picks in this formation. We could see, you know, depending on who's like the most farthest forward kind of attack, whether it's in Doms or Lo Celso, you know, that could be a cheaper option.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll have to wait and see, you know, that we definitely need some minutes to watch for. But, you know, I mean, I'm not really, I'm thinking about getting Son also. Like, and just,
yeah, no, I think the double up for this
gambling,
run is very reasonable.
Yeah, just gambling on it and saying, okay, let's see what happens, you know, and I'll just, you know, go to the bank for, you know, for a little while and see if I get some, if I spike some points here with them. So, yeah, you know, it's fun. Everything's fun. Spurs are fun again. That's fun.
Yeah. I mean, he's also just hysterical and really fun to watch go crazy. I feel like Derek, like, part of the reason Derek got into fantasy was it's just Conte going absolutely apeshit all the time.
Spurs, though, I mean, it's just going to be great. I mean, and I'm so excited to watch him and them and everything.
And honestly, so good. Defensively, we're not 100% sure who's going to be, you know, the back three, but it'll probably be Dyer, Romero, and Juan. Maybe it's Davinson, maybe it's Tanganga.
I don't know about that. I don't know about Dyer being included in that group.
I mean, literally every man. I know we don't rate him, but every manager ever just seems to rate
him. They haven't had a smart one yet with Dyer.
They've had Poch.
He was playing him in midfield and shit, though, and he did drop him for a long time. I don't know. I feel like that was when Dyer had some good performances. He was getting England caps before his fraudulence really was exposed.
Yeah.
I feel like, if he's still playing, it's just because the other center backs are so bad.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know why they bought Rodon if he can't get in this. I mean, even Tanganga. I mean, they still have a lot of guys.
They have a lot of options. They have a lot of centers. We don't know who's going to play, but they will start keeping cleans.
Dude, Ben Davies can play left-sided center back. I mean, he has done that before.
He has, but I'm just saying, I feel like he might be too old and bad. I don't fucking know.
That's true, but I'm just saying, I mean, they don't have a left footer, I don't think. So, Davinson, could come back in with Romero. I don't know.
Yeah.
But either way, we're looking at 4 or 5 options here.
God, dude, they're going to be so good.
I mean, what we do know with Conte is he keeps 50% cleans in his games. He hasn't had defenders that are this bad since his Premier League tenure yet, the actual individual players, but... He knows how to whip a ship in the first season
with Chelsea, 16 cleans.
Like 26 in the whole season?
Yeah, whole season.
Yeah,
Hazard finished with 16 goals, 9 assists, 224 points. Dogface Costa finished with 20 goals, 11 assists, 196 points. Alonso, 6 goals, 5 assists. Fucking Pedro, 9 goals, 10 assists. You were mentioning that GLC maybe, or Ndom, whoever's up there. But also Fabregas, 5 goals, 15 assists. I feel like he has, rightfully so, earned a reputation as just a defensive mastermind kind of guy. But he lets the front, four and the wingbacks go. It's just that he doesn't play it's not an all-out attack type of dominate possession or a Klopp team. It's just a different style. They're gonna just be really good.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine he will get in charge and have an hour long tape of Costa and Haz and how they move and what he does and just show it to Kane and Son and be like, this is how you're playing from now on.
Yep.
Because I mean, if you think about their profiles, pretty similar. So that could be a good job by them. And, Harold could, he's obviously Nuno was not getting a song out of them. And you could tell that there was just a lack of just overall cohesion as well as fight for the team. And Conte is going to reinvigorate them because he comes in and he commands a room and everyone there knows that he's, a top 5, top 10 manager in the world and that he wins leagues and he's a serial winner. He just won the fucking league for Inter for the first time in our lifetime or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's going to be really exciting. I'm really excited to see how this unfolds.
It's just looking back, if they sack Mourinho and then they hire Mourinho's former assistant in Nuno. And it's what is happening? Yeah. But good for them, they made the change. Man United's too fucking stupid and they just did the thing.
Yeah. No, I mean, you gotta be ruthless.
Yeah.
You see where the trajectory is going. You watch the performance. And, that wasn't the first performance like that. I mean, don't forget I got their game against my team. Yep. That was, the fourth game of the season, but they didn't have a shot in the box the whole game and we won 3-0. It's, the warning signs were on the wall. So there you go.
Yeah. I generally agree with what Kayla was saying about that, which is basically you ask yourself, why can't Nuno organize a team defensively? He's always shown an ability to do that. And the assumption is this is Nuno trying to play attacking football. This is him trying to scale upwards. Or he can organize a team that's happy to finish 10th really defensively and just do that well. But when he's trying to be contending for top four and whatever, it just fell flat on its face. So
Let's do the thing that was so perplexing to me against the Man United game as it was unfolding, though, is that you couldn't have really walked into the week ahead thinking, man, you're going to go three at the back. But when they did, Nuno has played that formation for his whole fucking life. Yeah. And the team looked like they had absolutely no idea how to attack it or what the fuck they were supposed to be doing for 90 minutes, which is insane. And it didn't get better after halftime.
Nope.
I mean, fair play to Spurs for firing, because the best move they've made all season.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Anything else, or should we just jump to questions? We got some questions.
No, I think we could roll to questions. Let's that was a it. Lot of action.
Yeah, so Bear said, how do I escape what has become the misery with both Kane and Vardy as my strike pairing? Both the front of terrible misfiring team, but allegedly good fixtures coming. Thoughts? And Jeff D said, I'm in the same uncomfortable and regrettable position as my colleague Bear. Is Alba an option? He has Watford and Newcastle home, two of the next three, and neither of those teams have kept it clean all season. So we don't need to talk about Kane. We just talked about Kane. But, I mean, I feel happy that we both talked our way into dodging Vardy.
Yep, very happy. I mean,
holy shit.
1 point, 1 point. Last two games. Leeds, Chelsea, Watford, Southampton, next four. You're just trapped into holding him, obviously. Yeah. If you can bench him against Chelsea, I think that's a genius thing to do. I mean, it's after the international break, so who knows if that's a possibility. But Leicester have been consistently bad all season. Their performances have been consistently bad all season. And Brodge is chopping and changing like he has no fucking idea what he's doing in his job. And Daka looks like a better player than Vardy right now.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know. Yeah. Doesn't look good. You know, obviously no one's buying, even though they do have this good run ahead, you know, but I just feel like you're not really playing the game right if you look at, you know, Leeds, Watford, Southampton, three of the next four, and you're getting rid of him.
Yeah.
That's kind of, I mean, I feel like you're just kind of trapped.
Brodge has managed to, they make them worse every season. Like, he came in, did great.
Yeah,
they were fucking legitimately great.
They were good last year, though.
They were good last year. They got a lot of, like, hot finishing and stuff, like the Iheanacho stuff that kind of carried them. They still ended up blowing the fourth place, even though they were there most of the season. And then, like, this year, they're just, like, significantly worse and not getting the hot finishing. It's, like, the double whammy.
Yeah, well, Vardy's been giving them hot finishing, but other than him.
Yeah. But
this is also, you know, maybe him coming back down a little bit,
because
he did have fucking 7 goals in 8 games or seven. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, do you see it any other way? Or
no,
I mean, would you sell Vardy ahead of these fixtures because of how bad the team and he has looked?
I don't think so. I mean, like Jeff mentions Abba, like, I'm not enthusiastic enough about Abba to ever make that sale. And like, yes, he has home Watford and home Newcastle, two out of the next three. He also has away Liverpool. And he just doesn't seem like a high ceiling player to me. I mean, even though he's kind of been consistent, he'll get his one goal or whatever. I just am like, I don't know. Are you gaining a lot of points there? It just doesn't seem good to me.
I would Vardy rather to
Kane is like a little bit more interesting, to be honest.
You know, you got to find a million to do that. I mean, I think if you are looking to move Vardy on, you got to impact a second spot on your team significantly.
Yeah.
And I don't think, you know, I mean, maybe if that 0.8 gets you like the little extra you need to go from like a 4-5 defender to Chilwell or something, okay. Maybe that's a good job by you, but I don't know. I'm not sure. The team context matters, but yeah, going to Auburn, whatever. You're spinning your wheels. You're just pissing transfers into the wind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Viking said, why does it seem like mostly rational decisions getting punished lately, and how do we deal with this? For example, going Kai over Mount, getting City defense, getting Tony. Is it too early to go rogue?
It's never too early to go rogue.
Never too early to go rogue.
That's just going to be our motto forever. You know?
Yeah.
But it's if you're boring, if you do the boring thing over the course of 38 game weeks, you'll come in the black. 1,000,000%, I promise you. When you look at anything over a 3-game week sample size or 3 little decisions when they're, you know, closer to 60-40s than like 90-10s, which is pretty much always the case when we're making these kind of decisions.
Yeah.
yeah, the chances, there's always that chance that, you know, you just come in the red for a little bit. So, you know, it's, but I still think, you know, you have to figure out what kind of manager you are or whatever. And, you know, if you're seeing something and you're not liking something, like with Vardy, you know, if I own Vardy, I might get rid of him, but I wouldn't advise someone, like just an objective standpoint. Yeah. But, you know, if I put my emotions into it and I'm watching him like do these dumb, be bad and watch the team be really bad, then I'd be like, okay, well, I'm going to click the buttons and see what else I could do. So,
yeah, I mean, that's the bottom line. Right? I think so much of this game, this fucking hellhole of a game, is like deciding how you want to play and what enjoyment you individually get out of it. Like, I basically manage my brother's team. It's not hard to finish like top 100K.
If you really?
Just, yeah.
Hard for me.
No, it's not, though. If you played a way that you didn't like to play and didn't get enjoyment out of, you would finish top 100K. You know, the way that we play on hard mode, we play on fucking brutal mode because we like to get the guys we like. We like to do the flair thing. We like to cap whatever, you know. But, like, if you really, your only goal in life is, like, I just want to get the highest OR possible, you do the most obvious, the most boring, the fucking most ownership, the most template shit. You kind of just, like, fall in there. You know, you need a little bit of luck maybe here and there, but like that's generally how it's been for me. I spend 5 minutes a week on his team and it's just like I just coast, you know. But I think the way we play is more fun, certainly for us, and it's more interesting. Fun. Yeah, fun. It's a big quote unquote fun, but it's also, it's just like more interesting. We're also like making it more interesting for ourselves. Because it's the shit that we're talking about, you know, like the pod would be very different if all we talked about is like, what should we do with blah, 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 the guy that everyone's transferring out and, you know, get Salah, like, oh, should we cap Mo this week? It's like,
yeah, I mean, we could be like, oh, these are the five players who are getting the most net transfers in, so this should replace that. And, yeah, exactly. I mean, that's more of a automaton way to play the game, you know, not really looking at it with the context, but it's also obviously better in terms of finishing better.
Yes, no question.
So
that's not why people are here, I don't think. I think they're here to hang out and talk about
they're
shit.
They're here to watch us dance.
Yeah, literally, we're the court jester, so.
Okay.
Dance monkey. Yo Bill said, what in the heck do we do at the forward position? Everyone is sucking ass.
What in the heck?
What in the heck?
I mean, Tony's, I was promised points, and he's gotten no points.
I think they'll still come.
They should come, but I mean, he low-key has returned in 3 games this year, and he's played 10. And that is very bad. He has played every minute of every game. Not good. So, you know, they better fucking come fast because he might be, he's approaching like peak fraudulence FPL player, like with Kai, holding Kai's hand.
I have great news for you, though. They have home Norwich at Newcastle, home Everton.
Yeah. I mean, they better fucking come.
He should have scored versus Burnley, too. He got one really massive chance.
Yeah. I mean, okay. But I think. Kane suddenly.
Yeah, Kane.
Good pick because he has a manager and he should get a fucking rocket up his ass.
Yep.
I mean, Ronaldo just fucking sits there and does the worldy finish and gets a little fucking, a little nice assist and shit. You know, he's obviously a fortune, but there are good runs coming soon. So he's going to, you know, he's going to get points.
Yep.
You know, there's still picks. Jim's been returning.
Jim and Antonio, I think, are still.
What
both
do you think,
totally
Antonio,
fine.
Though? I mean.
I still think
I've been a lot
totally
more concerned
fine.
With West Ham than you have been, obviously.
Yeah, you have.
They have Liverpool, City, Brighton, Chelsea for the next 5.
It's really bad.
It's really bad.
But
those are like the 4 best defenses in the league.
If we zoom in a little bit,
zoom in for me.
Home Liverpool right now, not that bad. Like
it's bad.
It's not good.
It's bad.
But it's not that bad. We've been conceding chances on the break. For fun, all season, against everyone.
Okay, okay.
And that is just, like, exactly how they play. I really feel like them getting behind repeatedly is on the table. And then at Wolves, is not that bad either. When Game Week 13 starts and it's just City, Brighton, Chelsea in a row, it's horrible, obviously. But if he's still fit somehow, you know, if they fucking...
Yeah, and if they score four in any of those games, he's going to get points.
Too soon. Right? Yeah, too
he's got,
soon.
I mean, how could he not be involved in a four-goal West Ham
I still
game?
Just think while he's fit, he's elite. Those okay. fixtures obviously suck, but, you know, followed by at Burnley, at Arsenal, home Norwich, home Southampton, at Watford, at Palace, home Leeds. You know, it's just... I don't know. Yeah, I still feel fine with him. And I don't know. Maybe I'm just...
Well,
I'm,
this, yeah. I mean,
I think
this
I'm
is a
always
good thing.
A little too negative with Liverpool or like too...
Yeah, I mean, what you're saying is... yeah, sure, you could get him behind a couple times. But he should be in Van Dijk's pocket. He pulls onto the left. I mean, I don't know. Whatever. Matip, they'll do... I think they'll do the things. This will be a good divergence because I'm looking at fucking him off and hitting him out this week. So
oh shit, okay.
So maybe we'll have to, we'll be on opposite sides of the coin, and okay. maybe this will be good because when I got rid of Jim, he gets a point. So maybe if I get rid of him, you have him. And
could
then,
be a little treat for us.
A little treat to treat.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Just looking at XG, but here's our XG allowed last five: 1.1 to Brighton, 1.6 to Man United, 0.5 to Watford, 1.1 to Man City, whatever, 1.9 to Brentford. It's just every game. It doesn't matter really who we've played. Every team is getting at least one big chance, if not three.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and the good thing about that is you have the best goalkeeper in the world, and one or two big chances a game is about what every team gets. So good job by you. Six cleans in 10.
Yeah. I just think the context of it does matter, right? So. Not to dwell on this too much, but you know, the first five we kept four cleans. We played Norwich, Burnley, Leeds, Palace. Those were the four cleans. Palace before they really got going, even though they threatened a lot. In there was a draw with Chelsea, but they were down to 10 men for 45 minutes. And then since then, it's been three to Brentford, two to Man City,
which were all on set pieces, to be fair.
Yeah, but you know,
yeah, that, no, that, I'm just that happens. Context matters. I mean, they were set piece goals.
5-0 Watford, you know, they're a fucking mess, whatever. Man United, massive chances, get behind, you know, pretty easily in the first half at least. And then, yeah, two to Brighton. I don't know. It's not looking great. I'm curious to see how they look against Atletico, who did basically the exact same thing that Brighton did to us this week, just going like super wide and no striker, you know?
I mean, going back into the context, Brighton are down 2-0 after fucking 3 minutes, and they score their first goal on a shast cross.
Yeah.
When they could have been 3-0 down if, you know, they interpreted the handball rule a little bit different. You know, it's fine margins.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure. Absolutely. We'll see. We'll see. All right, what else we got?
Mr. Ralph said, I capped Kai last week. I went Gallagher to Foden this week. Can you stop being so convincing?
Just stop listening to us.
Yeah,
listen
stop.
And then don't do anything that we do. Easy.
Yeah,
game.
That's what the smart managers do, I think. Cinnaby said, is Smith-Rowe still a very, very, very bad pick?
Just normal bad.
Yeah, just,
you know,
regular
just a normal bad.
Bad
pick. He shoots once a game. He still shoots once a game, and he won't score with that shot every game. You know, he's obviously he had that, you know, late, the finish against Leicester was very nice, took it well, but, you know, having a bouncing ball fall to his lap when the fucking Leicester can't clear their lines. You know, he's never scored that goal before. And, you know, yeah, he got the assist on the corner against Villa, which contributed to his huge haul. He's a very much a 5-6, 1-3. Yeah, 1-3-ish, 1-4 returner. You know,
yeah, it's hard to be very, very, very bad when you're 5-6.
Yeah, and I mean, again, it's a lot more born out of his position. Like, we liked him more last season when he was playing that true 10 role. Right. And now he's, you know, kind of playing a little bit wider and just not as involved. So he's in real life watching them. He's very important, very, very good player about progressing and in their attacking actions. But, you know, he's just, man, you don't want to start him every week. And they have like some tough fixtures. And I don't know. I just think, you know, he's not that good.
Yeah, he's just not that good a pick. I still fully agree.
Yeah.
Bear again said, what are your thoughts on Brentford? Is it as simple as Raya's out and their goalkeeper defensive situation significantly worse? Do you think that's going to play more, that this is going to play more open and no longer the defensive powerhouse they've been so far? And you kind of got a hell yeah followed up. And he said, is it a good time to jump on Brent empty because their fixtures? Or do you guys still vibe with Pinnock? I was looking at one thing that I noticed when I was kind of looking at the week's results and that stuff. Two things. One is that, like, it's kind of funny to me that they got absolutely obliterated by Burnley, because I just think that has to happen to every new manager in the Prem. I just think that's just rite of passage.
That's like a rite of passage.
Yeah, it's like you're hazing to get into the fraternity of the Premier League is get fucking diced once, because they got absolutely long ball and fucked every which way.
The surprising thing, though, was like they didn't know it was going to happen or something. Like Burnley play one way and have done so for 5 years.
That's what I mean. I feel like you have to experience it, and I don't know why. Like it happened to Pep. It happened to Klopp. Like it doesn't matter the level of manager you are. It's just like, what the fuck is this? Before now, you know, Pep and Klopp just beat them 3-0 every game. But this was the third game all season, third out of 10, that Brentford have had 50 or more possession. They drew 1-1 with Villa, 52% possession. They lost 2-1 to Leicester with 55% possession. They got massacred by Burnley with, you know, 58% possession. We kind of talked about this a couple weeks ago when everyone was sort of getting Mbeumo and getting Tony and stuff. Is that like, yes, the fixtures are really good, but we also don't really know what they're going to do with them. Like, we don't know what they're going to be like when they have all the ball, when the onus is on them to create, and it's not just Tony and Mbeumo on the counter. And so far, not so good. You know, what remains to be seen.
They didn't have Mbeumo this game, though, which is a huge, huge problem, because he's their
important.
He's like their, you know,
most threatening player.
Yeah,
absolutely. So that's very important. I'm not going crazy. I still expect them to like beat Norwich and Newcastle, but it'll be very interesting to see if it's like a very grindy 0-0 or 1-0, or if they can actually like score 3 goals
and create some chances.
Yeah. So I'm still sort of like, I don't know. Defensively, I mean, Raya's been incredible for them. So that's very bad.
Yeah, and I mean, I watched the highlights. I didn't watch this game live. I don't really know what Fernandez, like, if he was bad or good or similar.
He seemed really bad to me on highlights. Like, he kept, he did, like, the Pickford thing of, like, take a giant step out to come for the ball and then backpedal because, that's like, so that was that's very bad. But it was also his first game. But
it was his first game, yeah. I mean, I'm not buying the defense, though. No, like, it comes back to, I would rather have probably a Palace defender right now. I mean, given similar fixture run, but you know,
I'm definitely not buying the defense. And again, to go back, that's part of that is like the possession thing where it's like, we know they can defend when they have 40% possession and just chill and
have
like,
deeper lines, you know, but if they're pushing their back line up a little bit, cause they have the ball, you know, they could get done in behind. We don't know.
Yeah. That's more to me in my head. That's more probably similar to how they played in the championship, and they weren't a good defense in the championship.
That's true. That's a good point. Yeah. And I mean, it still comes back to like from the Mbeumo and Tony perspectives of right. Yeah. We've been saying this, you know, for a couple of weeks, we don't know, but with this game, you know, I'm willing to pay to find out because, you know, they are still playing really shitty teams.
Yeah.
Norwich, Newcastle, Everton, the next three are as good as you can hope for.
Yeah.
And then they have Spurs, which is all of a sudden a fucking train wreck fixture.
But then they have
Leeds and Watford. So, you know, it's still really good attacking really fixtures for a decent amount of time here. So, you know, if they are able to put in, you know, 2 goals a game, you know, you should be getting some points there from Tony and Mbeumo, assuming Mbeumo's fucking fit. But, you know, yeah.
Yeah, totally agree. And then last question is Jeff again. He said, I look at my team. I don't particularly like it, but I have a lot of playable options this week. Can't decide if saving my one free is too passive or if saving leading up to an international break is good. How do you go about distinguishing when it's time to be patient or get aggressive? So, which I think is really the part of the question that matters. And I don't know if it's answerable. I just thought it was kind of interesting because I feel like the past 2-3 weeks, we've both kind of like run into that a little bit where we're, like, because we were very aggressive with Kai and, you know, got fucking destroyed by that. But the 7-0, no returns. And then we were more
lucky. Very lucky to get 3 this week.
And then we were much more passive with, you know, guys like Chilwell Reese or Foden. Like, we were late to those. And that was bad.
I mean, late. We still don't have any of the defenders that you just mentioned.
Yeah,
I mean,
we're still late.
Yeah, we're fucking not on the bus.
Yeah, we're not on the bus. So I don't know. It's interesting. It's an interesting one. I don't know how to answer it. I just thought it was interesting and relevant to us.
Yeah, and it's, as always, the context matters about what players are you talking about and, you know, who are you targeting to replace them with. I think you just have to do a gut check and, you know, see where you think the points are going to come and, you know, what's going to set you up better. I mean, in terms of saving ahead of an international break, it's objectively always better to have two frees than one. But, yeah, you know, if you're going in the international break with, you know, a good deep bench, then it's not as important. You know, or if you have a good squad, then what? Okay, it's no fucking different than another week. You know, sure, you might have one injury more than, you know, or whatever, but, you know, you still want to get, there's still this week. You know, you still want points, yeah, this week. Yeah. And, you know, points in the hand are better than points in the bush. So you do the things that are going to get you the points. And if you're seeing something that you don't like and you're seeing some other things that you like, then you click the buttons.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
Let's go to our teams.
All right. Well, we have Champions League coming.
We have Champions League today because we're doing a weird morning pod, and tomorrow, and European Conference Fuckfest. Who knows? Yeah. So I don't know. I have two frees. I have 0.6 in the bank. I'm chilling. Like, I'm not.
You're going to look till later. I'm looking to figure it out.
I always do. I mean, I feel like both of us pretty much always do.
Yeah, I usually at the beginning of the week, like, have an eye on something, but I don't fire. I mean, I don't think I've made early transfer maybe once or twice this year. But yeah, when there's midweeks, you know, I usually like to wait until Thursday to do it.
Yeah, I mean, I already have an 11 problem, in my opinion.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, like, in my current, just like when I was fucking around before we started potting, I have Diash on the bench.
Yeah, don't hate that.
Like, I don't know. You know, obviously, I still have Broja, red flagged, and Doug is now sick.
So you're starting White over him? Is that the call?
Yeah. White, Bumo. Like, to me, I was looking at, like, I don't want to bench White. I don't want to bench Bumo. You know, Kai and Son are not, you know, not a question. Don't want to bench Antonio. You know, obviously, I'm more negative on Liverpool's defense than you are. Maybe that's the bench. Don't want to bench Jim. Don't want to bench Aspil. You know, like,
yeah.
I don't know. Just a lot of good pictures.
Yeah, I mean, I'm similar. I have, like, right now I have White and Livermento on the bench. Home Watford for White, home Livermento, or home Villa for Livermento.
Yeah.
So I want to get Duffy in there. Home Newcastle looks like, you know, a banker.
It's tough, yeah.
Yeah, it's a tough one, but
I think White home Watford is really good. Like, I do expect a clean there.
Watford are a little schizo. I don't know. I do feel like they have a lot of pace that they can get in behind. And I think they did look a lot better. I mean, Watford was a real run. The team he picked was ridiculous and it was predictably non-functioning. And they looked a lot better after half when he put a normal team out. So
yeah,
you think he might have gotten one out of his system there, Tinkermanning in the first half. And you know, when they have the good balance and they have the right number of counterattacking forward options and not like all of them and no midfield, I feel like that don't get me wrong, very good fixture, but you know, it's not like a home Newcastle, I think, you know. But yeah, home Watford for Arsenal, the way they've looked, is certainly a good one.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's tough. There are a lot of good home clean fixtures for the cheaper teams for sure this year. I mean, especially like Brentford or home Norwich. So if you do have, you know, Pinnock or whatever, you want to get him in there.
Yeah,
and it's a tough call this week for sure.
All right, well, let's wait on our transfers, then we'll do that on Patreon.
Well, I am looking at a hit. I'm looking at Spicy Meatball about doing Antonio and Kai out for Son and maybe Edward. I'm fucking done with Kai.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm watching him take weak shots from outside the box and just nowhere
like
near
that?
It against Burnley. I'm just like, we got scammed. Complete trap. Absolute trap. And I don't think home Burnley is a good fixture for him because if he's not countering, he's not in goal scoring positions. And I'm not willing to
I still think continue home Burnley to, is a great fixture.
Yeah, I don't. I just don't. I don't think it's good. And I don't like the Antonio fixture. And I just want to, like,
I think be happy. More importantly, you don't like the next Antonio, you know,
run.
Five.
Yeah. No, I mean, if he had good fixtures, I would be like, fine.
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify that. It's not just
and
the one.
No. And, you know, we've been in and around this topic for a little bit, and he did just do the Tottenham game, and we're like, okay, he did score in the bad fixture, but then, you know, they just scored. I'm still looking at the
double
fixtures.
Double hockey assist for Villa, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just still looking at the fixtures, and I'm thinking, like, really? Okay, he's fine. Like, he could still get one or two goals in the next four game weeks, but it's not fun. I want to have fun.
As we mentioned, if you're here for quote unquote fun, you're in the right place. If you're here to fucking cruise to 75K finish, you're in the very wrong place right now. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, that's a cool hit. You know, you get a pallet, get Edouard in, go double fucking Spurs before this run. I mean, at Everton has turned into like one of the best five fixtures in the league. Attacking wise, like
until Ducore's back,
unbelievable, it's ridiculously unbelievable. Good. Yeah. It should just be like the Kane and Son show. It's hard to imagine anything else. And then, you know, obviously following that up with home leads away, Burnley is also fucking amazing.
Fun. So I want to see if anyone gets hurt, but if not, you know, I could just do some fun clicking.
Yeah,
and you know, I'm just sitting here, red arrows. Normal, bad at the game, and I'm just like, maybe I just am not good at being good, and I need to just be wild, be a wild man. Because when I was doing wild shit like captaining Bale hat tricks last year, I was having fun and getting green arrows.
I mean, this is almost like a larger topic that I sort of, I don't know, we need to spend more time on at some point. I definitely brought it up a lot on the week where I was wildcarding, when I was like explaining my team. It was the week after I wildcarded when I had the good game week and everyone was asking about it. Yeah, because
you
had like
Son, he was in no teams. You had a really different.
And a lot of what you just said is basically where I was at, where I was like, I was just trying to like get back to when I wasn't terrible at FPL, which is a while ago now. It's years ago. But clearly having a podcast and, you know, bouncing ideas and all of this kind of shit was just very bad for our overall ranks. Because you used to be extremely consistent and good.
We've gotten consistently worse every year we pod as we watch more games and know more about everything.
Yes.
We've gotten much worse.
And like talk more and read more and listen to more. We just get worse. And it's we're just bad at like, you know, getting through the noise, figuring out what's, you know, what's real and what isn't. And yeah, so trying to go back to your roots, I'm in favor of when it comes to you and me. For sure.
Yeah, I need to start taking more hits, period. Because the when I started like saving and all the time and, you know,
that was the beginning of the end and
floating.
For you.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm doing. When I do that, I just don't know what I'm doing. And when I'm looking at things more just like fuck off, come in, fuck off, like this, that, week to week.
That's really how you play.
I'm getting points in, and that's what I'm better. So I need to just come back to doing that and just being more psychotic.
I just want to shout your ranks out because your history is actually really fucking good, and I feel like people who've started listening in the last 2 years have no idea that either of us have ever had good finishes. But this is Walsh, 42K, 4K. Well,
first, context about the first season I played. I had never watched I've never watched a game before in my life. I didn't know how the rules worked.
You wildcarded game week two, right?
I didn't know how the game. I didn't understand any of the mechanisms, and there was like a double game week. I had like none of the players because I didn't understand. Yeah. That was the year when there was like the Benteke double game week with Chelsea, the first game week, and I had like all these fucking idiots, and like I had players who didn't play and shit. And I thought you got a wild card every week. Yeah. Or something. I don't even know.
So 42K with those circumstances is still incredible. 4K, 16K, 16K, 23K, 25K. Like so consistent.
300K, 300K.
Yeah, and then 396K, 332K.
Which it has gotten progressively more. Like the game has gotten harder as the years have passed because there's more players and people are being spoon-fed information a lot more.
Yeah, that's true.
But so, yeah, I mean, I used to be good and now I'm very not good. So here we are.
It's weird. All right. And then caps, we actually got some questions. So Ozzy said cheeky and Bumo cap this week. What do you say? Dewitt said new manager bouncing against the awful Everton D. Is it a good process to go Son or Kane cap or just dumb to pivot off Mo? And Hardly Boy said, are the Chelsea wingbacks the best captain option this week? So yeah, Chelsea's home Burnley, Bumo's home Norwich. And yeah, Spurs, aforementioned, are at Goodison.
Yeah, I mean, unlike last week, there are actual good,
really
alternative
good
captain options. I'm still going to stay on Mo. You know, I obviously at West Ham, like the worst fixture of all of these ones that we're mentioning,
it's bad.
He, you know, could have just had another 15, 18 pointer. You know, I mean, he was in and around. He would have had an assist on one of the goals that was chalked off. He almost scored himself.
He was kind of bad, which is funny.
Yeah, he was a little loose.
In the face of like form, what is form? It's kind of funny that he was just like kind of bad.
Yeah, but it's still Mo. I mean, I still think, how quickly we forget he's still returned. I mean, it's, he just had four returns against Manchester United and everyone's like, perma cap and shit. And now, one game where he doesn't get double digits and everyone's like, wait a minute, look at this one, look at that. You know, I mean, captaining a Brentford player is fucking insane to me, even if they're playing North. They could be playing fucking Preston. I wouldn't captain them. I think a Chelsea wing back's maybe a little bit more interesting just because, the clean look, Cornet, I don't know. Burnley have been scoring. I mean, I'm not sure. I just think it's Mo. I Kane and Son, it's a big leap of faith there. First game, he'll have the conference game. Second game, they should be up for it, and it's a really good fixture, but it is away, and we still haven't seen anything from them yet. So they might just kind of struggle a little bit to figure out what they're supposed to be doing because Conte will have been there for 5 days.
Yeah.
I just still think it's Mo.
I have it on Son right now.
Okay.
Don't really know where I'll end up. I don't.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I do think that West Ham, before the Conte hiring, are the fourth best team in the league. And I think that they're not very good defensively, but they're solid and they're like a difficult team to play against. That said, last year, home to West Ham, Mo gets a pen. So he just gets a goal. And then away West Ham, he braces. Neither of them are pens. And he has 7 shots and just like easy 3-1 destruction. So, like you said, it's very easy for people to.
And that's when they were playing 3 at the back.
Yeah. Right. And they were better defensively. And it's like, it is funny how people change so quickly. And I agree with you on Norwich. I mean, on Brentford, I would never go anywhere near that. The wingbacks, maybe. I mean, I did see someone on Twitter shout that last season, Tuchel put in Alonso for Chilwell for the Burnley game for height. Which is interesting because, Alonso's like, he's pretty tall and really good in the air.
Yeah, he's like 6'4", 6'2", or something.
Yeah, so, I don't know. Something to consider there. But maybe Reese. Yeah, I guess you could go Reese. I just hope.
Who also could not play, and that could be an Aspel game because he's more.
I'm just praying Aspel plays. I don't fucking know what to do with that. Maybe I should use a transfer there. I have 2 frees.
I mean, doing him to Chilwell.
Yeah, like that seems good. Right when Chilwell's about to get benched is like perfect, very on brand, very fun, very good move.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, okay, right. But then up the other side is. You have great first bench options, so if that does happen, it's not going to hurt too bad, and it's obviously a good long-term pick.
Yeah. I have great non-playing second and third bench option.
Hopefully Doug's back, but hopefully. I mean, we also don't know the Broja timeline. He might have just had a little knock. We don't know if he's actually out. He didn't say shit.
I wish he got that fucking Watford game. They had so many chances. Adam Armstrong could have had like a fucking hat trick.
He might never score another goal in his life.
He may never not. And if that was Brotendo, like, oh my God, he was getting in there for sure.
All right, let's get out of here.
Yeah, let me slap asses. We got 3 new Patreon signups. We got Ethical FPL, Tom Moda, Mike Pedretti. Get in there, slap the ass. That's it. Any last words?
I'll see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow. Check us out at fmlfield.com. Follow us on Twitter at fmlfieldsportsphr.com/fmlfield. Subscribe, rate, review, cheers!